This is Demir Barla, site editor of SearchSAP.com. When it comes to SAP, everyone wants to know which skills are hot and which are not. Today, SearchSAP's careers expert, John Reed, interviews David Foote of Foote Partners, an IT compensation tracking firm with reams of real-world data on SAP and other enterprise applications pay. John and David give you the scoop on building your SAP career in accordance with today's marketplace realities. So without further ado, let's turn it over to John Reed. John?
Thanks, Demir. Glad to join you on the podcast today. We're also going to ask David about the controversial issue of whether there truly is an SAP skill shortage, a hot topic at Sapphire 2008 that David was right in the middle of. This podcast is hosted by Search SAP and was made possible by a joint collaboration between Search SAP and my site, johnerp.com. David, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here, John. Thank you.
So, David, tell us about Foote Partners and your unique approach to gathering SAP skills data.
Well, you know, we've been well-known for years now of benchmarking IT workforce things. There wasn't a lot of that going on, and yet there was huge confusion in the market going back 10, 15 years ago because these jobs are changing so quickly. And as it turned out, a lot of people that do compensation and hiring were really struggling with just defining, you know, who these people are because these jobs are changing so quickly. And there became a problem with compensation, which is traditionally tied to salaries or to job titles. And people's job titles, as we all know, in IT are just, you know, stale after 6 months, which is the kind of the combination of the vendors and products, but also just how fast IT has evolved in businesses. And so we began tracking skills, specifically the price of skills, because we became aware about 12 years ago that companies were starting to differentiate people who have the same job title by skills. I mean, for example, lumping an ABAP programmer with COBOL, with .NET, with Java, with C programmers, you know inherently the problem right there. There's quite a bit of difference in pay. So we began doing that, and initially we chose about 10 or 15, and now we're up to 330. Skills. About half of them are certified. Half of them either have no certifications or people are willing to pay extra for them, and so we call them non-certified. And about 40 of the 330 that we're doing right now are specifically SAP products. So it's been a big piece of research for us because, again, I think we called it right on how the market's evolved. And I think lastly, what I wanted to say is a lot of times you need to make an argument to people who are not technology people as to why somebody should be paid more than another person or whether they should be paid more to recruit them or to promote them. And if you have good, hard data on not just salaries, but their overall picture of what they're worth on the market, that's important. And that's, I think, been a big thing for a lot of people who are hiring SAP professionals right now to make that argument.
David, the SAP skill shortage was a big topic of discussion at Sapphire this year, and you yourself broached the topic at the press conference that followed the keynotes. What is your take on this issue, and why has it become such a hot topic?
Well, specifically at SAP, you know, there have been skills wars and talent wars for years, but what's happened most recently with SAP is that here you've got a large, and not without precedent, I might say, you have a large vendor with, you know, almost 50,000 installations, 120 companies, a very popular set of products, and they've been aggressively expanding and transitioning their product lines. They haven't just been, you know, staying in one place. And they've been moving their customer base down market. Two-thirds of their installations right now are small to medium-sized companies. An interesting thing about that is that you've got a very different battle for skills being fought down at the small to medium-sized business, a very different set of rules and requirements. And it's, I think, because they've been so successful, not just in transitioning their product lines, but to move to these smaller companies, it's caused skills and labor shortages that have gripped sizable segments of the employment market in North America and around the world and created some very testy, I think, supply and demand fluctuations. And because we do track these continuously, and we pretty much publish every 3 months, we've been doing this since 1999. And by the way, I should say this involves right now 21,675,000 IT workers that we've actually been able to verify their skills pay. It's for SAP, it's been had a kind of a cascading effect. It's not all happening at one time. It happens with certain skills and different cycles, and some of these skill spikes have been hitting closer together and many more of them over the last couple of quarters, say 3 to 6 months. And you know, this has been a problem for SAP because usually this shows an accelerating shortage. And accelerating shortages, as you can imagine, can get out of hand quickly if you're not number one, acknowledging them and doing something about that. So at Sapphire, they have acknowledged that there's this shortage, and they've put a number on it of, I think, 30 to 40,000, you know, SAP project experts, and I don't quite know what that means, but they put that number on it. I think it's a global number. And they've also talked about a couple of initiatives they've taken, some of which they've been specific about, like the University Alliance Program, and some they've been very vague about, which is like how they're supporting their channel partners, because ultimately I think a lot of vendors look at their channel partners as having the right motivation to go out and to try to create more skills and help customers, because they're right on the front lines with these customers. They've been probably a little vague on that. What they've said to me as well is that they talked about doubling their consulting workforce in Canada over the last 2 years, and they specifically talked to me about Latin America, where they have an initiative to add about 6,000 skilled SAP workers in Latin America, and they're only about a quarter of the way there. And I applaud all of that, but to answer your question, I think that the questions that you have to ask SAP, these would be the four that I would ask their CEO if he was sitting in a room with me, is, you know, how many new or improved products can your customers realistically absorb, and with what kind of staffing level would you suggest that they have or will need? And number two, is everybody on board who has to bring these skills gaps to a manageable level? And I mean that probably more channel partners. Again, getting back to the point of supporting them, incenting them to be out there in the market helping people, and not just throwing bodies at projects, but helping them develop their projects and knowing everything about what it takes other than manpower to make a successful SAP implementation happen. Number three, can SAP continue to expand its base of mid-market users and keep them and also large companies that they've had for quite a number of years equally content, recognizing that labor needs among the two bases are considerably different? And lastly, if they can build confidence in the marketplace that these new manpower initiatives that they're talking about and probably will continue to talk about will bear fruit, and I think by when will they bear fruit? I think that's part of it too. So I guess in summary, I can just say they took on a very tough skills challenge when they embarked on certain strategies, and it's going to be tense for a little while. We're seeing because it's just not easy down there at the small to medium company level to grow internal talent. That tends to be what you do when there are skill shortages, accelerate the learning curve for internally growing expertise. And that's very hard to do, even for large companies, and a lot of them do a very poor job of that. I mean, mentoring, coaching, training, stuff like that. But for small and medium-sized companies, those of you who are listening today, SAP workers in these environments usually wear multiple hats. They require more than one specialization. If you come in, you hit the ground running, and you never stop running, and you're usually too busy to train people. You know, these are employers with little or no bench strength. They can't just shift resources around, take some people offline, put some online. And there are minimum requirements that maybe we'll go into later in the conversation for what kind of people they're looking for. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure done with those people and we'll talk about what some of those solutions might be for the small to mid-market today.
One of the aspects of the SAP skills debate that I think is important is that not all SAP skills have the same level of demand at any particular time. And the great thing about your quarterly reports is that you're up to speed on what data is, you know, tied to skills trends that are happening now. So tell us your latest research findings on which SAP skills are hot.
Yeah, and by the way, let me tell you how we kind of define hot here. I'm an ex-Gartner guy. We have some ex-Gartner people here. I guess I'm wedded somewhat to the magic quadrant. The way that we built that magic quadrant here is we talk about skills that are strong to weak, which is based totally on the amount of money people can earn if they have it. Are they talking about 12% of base pay or 3% of base pay? Strong would be up at the top of the range. And then we talk about skills as cold to hot, which is the growth rate. So what you want is something that is up in the upper right-hand corner, which is paying a lot right now, and it's also on a tear. It's going to be worth a lot more, and that's kind of how we – we sort of frame this. So I'd say right now, in terms of what's really been rising in pay, and also that has been earning a pretty good wage, I would put NetWeaver BI in this category. I'd put a variety of SAP ERP skills in that category. I'm not at all surprised to see what SAP MDM has been doing lately. I think MDM is it's early in the game, but largely companies, in order to be more flexible and agile, which is what SAP would love all their customers to be, it's part of what they're the construct they're building in their products, is one of the things that gets in the way of flexibility and agility is just the amount of data that companies have and being able to manage that data. So we've gotten a number of calls lately from people that are starting to hire MDM analysts and then the MDM master data managers and stuff like that. So we're aware that there's a lot of interest out in the field. People are starting to reorganize for that. I also would put the old standbys, SAP CO and FI, in there, paying a pretty good wage, well above average. We're seeing 20% growth in pay for both of those over the last 9 months. Continuing on, NetWeaver Application Server, SAP Project Systems, SAP CRM, and even materials management, I would still put, and also SAP HCM. These are all areas where we've seen growth over the last 6 to 9 months to a year. We can get more specific if you'd like, but pretty good bets right now for, again, sort of strong and also growing.
And according to your surveys, which SAP skills are heading hot to a little bit colder in your estimation?
Yeah, cold. If we say cold or, again, you know, not so hot, it's not that there isn't demand for them, but in terms of pay, it's economics 101. It's when supply catches up to demand, even if demand is high, if some of those numbers will start to fall off and flatten out. If I were to look at that list, I would look at ABAP, Basis, SAP Payroll. We've seen some diminution of pay in SD, sales and distribution. We've seen a little fall off over the last year in NetWeaver PI, I think because so many people were, I think there was a spike. I think demand is kind of changing in that. I think there's been a little, there was a dip in demand for a while there, about 9 months ago we saw a dip in that. And also web, the application server, SAP Web AS application server, again, have lost some of their ground. I don't know if I'd call them cold, though, but I think it wouldn't become any surprise to this group to understand that Basis might be losing a little bit of its value, and ABAP because of the changes in the product line and what SAP has been doing in their product lines lately. There's certainly an awful lot of Java people working in this world, too. And I'm not speaking today about non-branded SAP skills. We could have quite a bit of discussion about all the infrastructure and security and all of that, which surrounds SAP implementations. But I'm speaking today specifically about SAP-branded products.
David, at the heart of the SAP skills shortage debate is the question of whether SAP customers will be able to find the skills they need to staff their product initiative. So with that in mind, what are your recommendations to SAP project teams in terms of how to best fill the skills gaps on their projects and how to retain that talent once you recruited it?
Well, I have to start with prayer to begin with, but short of that, I think what you've got here is a situation where, and I noticed this, it's one of the reasons I go to things like Sapphire or TechEd or conferences, because these are places where people should be recruiting team members. I mean, if I were a person on a SAP, you know, who's been working in SAP, I would use these occasions to recruit people to come and work for my company. And if companies are not actually making that formal, that if you go to any event and you're not personally recruiting people onto your team and into your company versus just attending lectures and going around to booths and seeing cool technology, they're making a big mistake, because I think a lot of this happens at a very organic level, just because you can't trust technical recruiters and HR departments necessarily go out and find a lot of talent. I mean, we talk to people all the time where we'll get a call from a person in an HR department because they're interested in some of the benchmark research we have, and we don't necessarily feel they have a good grip on what's going on in SAP. You know, not the kind of person you want to send out looking for talent. Also, they might be a little too caught up in some of the filtering some of their resumes coming in for certain acronyms and stuff like that. When in fact there are people with SAP experience, you wouldn't necessarily find it in the title of the job that they might have somewhere else, or even in parts of their job description that might be exceptional SAP people. It's just important that you take, I think, and a lot of times take your take this recruitment into your own hands. Another thing is that you've got some companies are very better than others in terms of putting a carrot in front of people in terms of career development. Some companies, particularly at the small to medium-sized level, really do think about where some of these people are going beyond simply the project they're working on right now. If you're lucky enough to work for a company that has any kind of thinking and if there's any kind of development in terms of career progression, we call them professions programs, where you really look at people in terms of the profession they're in and where they're going to be 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, and then how they've gone about getting the conversation in front of the manager and the person. Those companies have a much better chance of recruiting people. But internally, I think if you're going to develop people, if you're one of those companies where you're just going to have to develop people, you have to have formal coaching and mentoring programs. You can't just expect this stuff to happen organically. You have to really encourage a lot of people who could work in the SAP department, who are now working, or projects teams who are not working in SAP right now, might be working in other parts of the business, say Java programmers, other technologies that are symbiotic with SAP, to encourage them to want to come over and work in the SAP department. It's been incredibly successful for people in security when they were looking after 9/11 for security talent. They just went to every network administrator, every systems administrator in the company and said, why don't you come over and work in you know, full-time as security administrator. You'll have to get certified. Certain things are different about what we do here, but, you know, come on over and do it. I think there's a lot of internal selling, again, that people can do to encourage people internally to come over and work. It's not necessary all the time to look to the market. But if you do look to the market, don't entrust your HR department to find those people. You know, get personally involved.
When we talk about the SAP skill search, we usually get into these broader impersonal conversations about trends. But when you think about the average SAP professional, the impact of SAP skills trends couldn't be more personal. If you don't make smart project choices and pursue the right skills, you might find yourself with yesterday's skills struggling to find those new opportunities. So with that in mind, what are your recommendations to SAP professionals on how to stay marketable?
Well, it'd be nice if you could wave a magic wand around this, but of course, again, that's like prayer, you know, good luck. It might work for you, but generally speaking, I find a lot of the goodness in terms of what they can be doing is to find partners. I mean, the best way to grow a career, to grow your own career, to manage people, help, you know, their careers, make decisions about this, is to talk a lot, band together. You're not just an individual island in a company. You've really got to, you know, create affiliations internally. This is how companies, by the way, and going back to that project team question, is partner with boutique consulting firms, you know, with other small companies. They want to partner. A lot of it is networking, partnership. You know, don't just look for this, you know, this open market. And that's also what you can do internally as well. Is if I were most people in SAP right now, I'd go narrow. It's against the grain in terms of skills, specializations. It's against the grain of what you want to do in a recession when you want to be more of a generalist. But I would say go narrow and pick areas, either functional areas, pick business process. That's a great area. Pick industry and get deep into that, because what's really happened overall, and I haven't really raised this point yet, what's really happened in terms of working in IT over the years, and the reason why certification pay has really been tanking for 2 straight years, every quarter by quarter, is that people are looking for, employers are looking for a much more multidimensional, broader skill set person in IT. They want technical skills, but they also want industry skills, familiarity with the customer, internal, external customer. They want, you know, solutions. If they find somebody who really has a pretty good knowledge overall as to what's going on and where the landmines are and stuff. They're not going to care if you're certified or not, but they like the fact that you really got narrowed down, and hopefully you'll pick an area that's hot. I've mentioned a few that are clearly doing well right now in the SAP world, but I think it's good to get narrow and very specific right now. The great example, I mean, outside of SAP is, you know, you have all these senior Oracle database administrators that had no trouble getting jobs for many years. They just kept getting more Oracle. But now, you know, they can't find, you know, they can't get an interview at a company that wants 5 years of healthcare experience and 2 years on patient record systems, or they're not even going to, you know, interview you. I think it's happening. It's going to happen that way in SAP, where they're going to want some basic technical knowledge, but they're going to want some very specific things in finance or control or quality or human resources or supply chain logistics. They're going to want it in their industry. They're going to want it with their customers, and they're also going to want you to be able to be more predictive, and even down to the level of a $60,000 or $70,000 a year person being able to really apply intuition and not just a body in a chair. And that, this happens, I think, of which is when you specialize and narrow down. So don't be too broad and cover all of you, or try to cover all your bases. Be again more of a look like a person that really is managing their career and has a purpose to it. Because I don't think a lot of employers are going to help you necessarily to do that. You're going to have to do that all by yourself. You know, personal career management.
I'm really glad you raised that point, because I think there's a general perception from the emails I get that technical SAP work is slow and functional is where it's at. Whereas in my view, I see both functional and technical SAP career paths having a lot of viability, but it depends more on how, as you said, how narrow or focused those skill sets are and how cutting edge they are. If you find the right cutting edge area, whether it's on a functional or technical side of SAP, you can have a lot of success.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different BPM tools and project management skills you can have. There's a lot of different modeling tools you can choose from. You know, there's industry knowledge. I mean, some people just are more attracted to certain industries. I mean, I know people that work in the SAP, in IT and SAP in the casinos, and they love working for a casino. They love working for Disney. I mean, the product that the company is out there and the image of that company on the market, it's called affiliation. A lot of people in IT are into it, either the affiliation, which is the company they work for. They're either in it for the money or they're in it for just, you know, the content of their job. It's always one of those three things, but if you can get two of those, that's really super, and it shows up in your work too. I mean, a lot of people that I know who are good in IT that would bomb in a sort of a, you know, 50s Midwestern manufacturing environment, but, you know, you go out, put them in Las Vegas in a casino, and they're just thinking about the customer. You know, they may even gamble themselves. I mean, they have a familiarity with who goes there, and as an IT person, that just makes you much more effective. It's just a matter of choosing whether SOA is going to be your thing, if business process will be your thing, if Web 2.0 is something you think is going to take off. It's, you know, it's not, or green, you know, green stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of places you can go, but you have to really take stock in what you want and then choose the company you want, the industry, and then you can always add a number of different technical specialties later, but the most important thing is you got to have fun on the job. You have to like where you're working, who you're working with.
We're starting to run out of time in this podcast already, and so much more to cover. I want to see if I can combine my last two questions into one. We'll see how that goes. One of them I wanted to ask you about was certification, which you sort of hit on a little bit already. Search SAP not too long ago initiated a discussion about the value of SAP certification. They got pretty heated, so that raised a question about the value of certification. And you referred to this a little bit in your conversation already, and it ties in with another push SAP is making to flesh out the so-called business process skill set and the soft skills through their BPX community. And you have noted in your certification comments that one of the reasons certification is not as powerful is because there's this whole other soft skill set or industry skill set or business process skill set that I think SAP is still trying to define, as we all are. So how do you see those things mixing together and the value of SAP certification in the midst of all that?
Well, I can tell you that certification, that industry has largely been an infrastructure industry. It was created by a number of vendors to support their products. Certification divisions and companies are typically in their sales and marketing departments, for instance. And it's heavily been about networks, you know, computer systems, security, you know, deep technical areas, and they continue to be. But as you know, the internet created this whole wave of IT jobs having to do with applications, customer, you know, facing jobs. And, you know, all of a sudden applications, to be a good application developer or maintenance or support person didn't require that kind of deep technical in-your-face knowledge that security, networks, and all of that required. It required a lot of brilliance in other areas. That's one of the reasons why I won't get into detail, but I could show you going back 10 years looking at just how the applications, the database, the networking, the security, the web development, you know, every different category. We have about 30 different categories, and how they all have reacted to economic conditions, to basically trends with vendors, trends with jobs. And I can show you that, you know, certification will always have a play in certain areas of IT jobs, but so many more IT jobs have been created that are not in these infrastructure areas but are in applications, architecting, project management, business intelligence, analytics. All of these jobs, and these are all possibilities for people in SAP right now. There are, you know, SAP is just a microcosm of the rest of IT, and in that regard, you know, to this point, we haven't been following SAP certifications because people haven't asked us for information about SAP certifications. They've pretty much been wanting to know more about SAP skills. And we have, you know, 1,400 customers for our research, and we have 2,000 research partners that provide all of this great information for us, and we pretty much go where they want us to go, and they haven't been asking for SAP certification yet. Yet. That could change.
Makes sense. Damir, do you have any questions you'd like to pose to David that we haven't covered?
Sure. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the competitive scenario. Certainly one ramification of the skills shortage, potential ramification, is that SAP's momentum might slow down a little bit, especially in the U.S., where SAP is already struggling a little bit. So, David, is there any way you can speak to the way in which the shortage might transfer some momentum over to Oracle, or maybe even Salesforce.com on software as a service front, or are these questions really separate from the issue of marketplace momentum?
Well, they're sort of both. They're market, and also they're separate. Don't forget, Oracle is not divorced from SAP. I mean, there's a lot of Oracle in, you know, around SAP initiatives and implementations and stuff like that, which is true of all vendors. They're your friends, they're your enemies, they're your friends, they're your enemies. It all depends who's merging what and who's trying to buy what company out there. I would say that when I was at Sapphire, I can tell you my experience. When I was speaking to people there, representatives from SAP, they distinctly were not talking to me about the United States. They talked about Canada. They talked about Latin America. They talked about Asia Pacific. But there wasn't much talk about the United States market. So I know that from a shareholder point of view, which is where I think management goes in decisions, they're looking at growth, it looks like, in Latin America and some other countries right there, and they want to make sure that they get that right, because it's hard to fix things. It's much easier to start, like architecture, it's a lot easier to start architecting from the very beginning on a clean sheet of paper than it is to come in after something's in place and re-architect it. So I'd say now, for the most part, there I get a feeling that there's more attention SAP is paying to other continents right now, which isn't to say that they're not paying attention to the United States as well. But the other part about competing companies, you know, Oracle also, you know, as an example, and other companies, they're having talent war issues too. I mean, these are not specific to SAP right now. You've got a consumer price index. That's up 3.9% in April to what it was last year. It's better than it was in February, by the way. You have a consumer confidence index that was at 105 last year. 100 being, you know, things are pretty good. It was at 105 a year ago. It's at 62.3 right now. You've got crude oil at $98 a barrel in February. Now it's up to $127.77. Today, I mean, everybody, the elephant in the room is not competition so much as it is the economy. So the degree to which, as a vendor, you can understand that customer purchase decisions are going to be very much based on limitations, budgets that are going to be cut, headcount that's going to be cut, you're going to be doing a lot more with what you've got. And that helped SAP tremendously in the last recession. A lot of people just made the decision, we're just going to keep, you know, rolling with 6.4 and or 4.6, and we're going to upgrade, and we're not going to add new products and stuff like that. That's always good for vendors, stick with what you've got. So they're going to be all digging their heels in. They're going to be looking to continue to sell into the markets they've got. SAP's got a huge market. Oracle's got a huge market. They're in a pretty good position.
Well, David, I think we ran out of time, but you certainly gave us a lot to think about, and want to wish you best of luck with Foot Partners, and we'll definitely just have to look forward to having you back for an update on your research and some more exploration of these findings.
Thanks very much. You can get information on the document that we've spoken about today. The research is called the IT Skills and Certification Pay Index. That's the primarily what we've been talking about today. You can get more information about that by going probably to TechTarget or to our site.
Great. Well, I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us today for this podcast interview on SAP Skills Trends. This podcast was a joint venture between Search SAP and my site, johnerp.com, bringing you career answers for SAP professionals.
This is Damir Barla, site editor of SearchSAP.com. We hope this podcast has given you valuable information to build your SAP career. If you're interested in the hottest SAP subdomains, such as master data management and human capital management, check out Search SAP's special report on hot skills, linked on the page that hosts this podcast. Thanks for listening.